Hi, everyone. I'm Andrew.
I'm Marn.
And this is the Argonauts Podcast. Every 2 weeks, I fail to solve an ARG, and Marn tells me what I should have done instead.
That's right. And this week, this is an ARG that you did actually very much fail to solve, because it was on our Minecraft server.
we did a thing that we don't typically do, which is that very professionally, we scheduled out our upcoming releases a while in advance.
Yeah.
And then I looked back at our schedule and I thought, Bucket Buddies. I don't remember what that one is, but okay. And then it turns out it's one that happened in my backyard.
Yeah. Bucket Buddies was a ARG that took place last April through, I think, like May or June on our Moonshot Minecraft server, which you can join if you become a $5 patron.
I'm clearly very involved in the Moonshot Minecraft server.
Yeah, and it was run, in fact, by one of our patrons and sometimes stream managers, Paddington, who was just like, I would like to do a fun little event for people on the server.
Hey, Paddington, sorry.
And I think they messaged me and they were like, is this cool? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. they made a formal doc, like, documenting the whole ARG. And also I have a doc documenting the finale that didn't get to happen, so I have insider information.
You heard it here first, folks. I got the secret ending. I also ran an ARG on our Minecraft server, which mostly consisted of me putting trapped chests everywhere.
Most of which I found.
Yep. Basically just jokified the server and was like, here you go. Here's a bunch of stuff to make you blow up. Have fun.
Yeah,
I'm excited to get into this one, but Martin, we got a couple questions that came in before we do. I'm gonna get into this first one that comes in from let me check my notes here. Someone named Paddington, who said, "What other ARGs or media do you take inspiration from when running your own?" I do want to say, as someone that just edited this episode, if you want to know what ARGs we most directly take inspiration from, you should check out our Patreon episode up now on the Moonshot Patreon. We did the Argies bracket for the first year that we were in business, and I gotta say, a lot of bangers in that year.
Yeah, I was also gonna say that. In terms of what ARGs, like, it is literally basically the ones that we talk about in that episode, which is like, This Is My Milwaukee, Frog Fractions, Bear Stearns Bravo.
No. Mark, don't say the names of, you gotta listen to the Patreon to find out.
People know what we covered our first year. That's a matter
you gotta
of public
listen.
Record.
Give us your money. Marn, what other media do you take inspiration from when you do ARGs? I think that is actually not that it's not an interesting question of what ARGs inform your ARGs, but like, what other things do you feel like you bring into ARGs you create?
That is an interesting question. As in all things that I do that are interactive, I think a lot of my inspiration comes from doing various different forms of, like, play-by-post roleplay for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
In that, like, I am very much a GM who likes to encourage other people to, like, make up a guy and, like, kind of pass the story ball around and be like, well, what do you think is going on?
I think that when it comes to running ARGs or pretty much anything that I'm creating, I think that one of the things that informs the things that I make is the Venture Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that part of it being the vibe of taking things very seriously,
yeah,
but also not very seriously at the same time is something that I hold very highly when it comes to everything that I do.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Like, if we look at something like the we do the showdown, right, on mm-hmm. on Moonshot, where we play, we do a Pokemon tournament where we are playing a bunch of wacky and weird formats, but I do coverage of that and I take it very seriously because I think that taking seriously, we're going to talk about Horse Plinko here, where everyone's using Arceus and using Metronome to all use random moves. I'm going to take that seriously to like give you good coverage of a goofy thing. And that tone, I think, is very important to me as a creator.
Yeah, I also think of stuff like going to be like the most obvious Marn example to pull from, but like stuff like Infinity Train, where it's like, and like Gravity Falls also, I think, where it's like that very specific type of media that like you as a kid would see on TV at like 3 o'clock in the morning and have the shit scared out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. And like Wham City Comedy stuff, I think also kind of like falls into that with like, unedited footage of a bear and like their infomercials and stuff. And just like stuff like that. That's just like, we're going to be really weird. We're going to get in and get out and we're not going to explain any more than absolutely necessary to you. But like, there is a world here that you're not, that you're seeing like a sliver of.
Yeah, I think Adult Swim, just kind of like writ yeah. large, is a very big inspiration. I never thought about it until you started saying it. But yeah, I do think that Adult Swim kind of shaped a lot of my media creation ideas, both uh-huh. by both through the kind of comedy that they had, the fact that like, it's so cool to me that there used to be a television channel that like kept shows that should not have been on the air from a business standpoint, like Venture Brothers and Fooly Cooly, but kept them in rotation because the person in charge really liked them. Like, yeah. I think that having that channel on the air was inspiration to me in ways that I didn't realize until you look at Adult Swim now. And the way that it's just been crumbling as cable has also crumbled. But I do think that that, as well as like, hey, here's a cool new thing called anime. It's going to make you absolutely untalktable in your teens. I think that that also shaped me in ways that like informs other things that I do as an adult.
Yeah. Oh, also Neopets. I've talked on here before about how like the Neopets. Well, but like the Neopets plots were like my very mm-hmm. earliest exposure to like puzzle shit.
No, I'm laughing, but I do think you're absolutely right, and that is I now that you say that, absolutely 100%. I think that those are our big media inspirations. I've also got another question here. This one comes in from Jenny, who says, what are the highest and lowest rated fish in your ideal fish-based currency?
Hmm.
Jenny, I gotta tell you, you were hitting me at a peak moment in my newest fixation.
Oh, yeah!
I got a lot of thoughts about freshwater nano fish. Danios are great. I really like I like mollies, but I'm not super big onto live bearers. Minnows are underrated, but are a good fish. Loaches are ideal. And a betta is absolutely great, but you do have to take care of it. So it is high risk, high reward. Those aren't really related to currencies, but that is my vibes on fish lately.
I would think that a fish-based currency would go from, like, smallest to biggest. So, like, you have, like, kind of minnows down at the like, not worth a lot end, and then, like, sunfish and shit, and, like, sharks up at, like, the big end. But I'm also just thinking about Animal Crossing now.
I think that does make a lot of sense. It does, I'll tell my minnows not to listen, but you are absolutely right. Especially considering they really do just breed at the drop of a hat. It really is like, I've looked up like care guides and they're just like, how do you breed them? And they're like, put them in water and wait. but yeah, no, I think that it really does. It's unfortunate, but I think it is really just a size game.
Mm-hmm. On the subject of inspiration, Paddington does have a little write-up at the beginning of this doc that says, like all neurodivergent creators, everything I make is a tour of whatever hyperfixation I'm going through at the time. During this, I was deep in research for the Flavortown saga, which Paddington also does the write-ups for, and obsessed with Jacob Geller video essays, Hermitcraft, Alex Bale ARGs, and Women Love Me Fish Fury hats. So, last March, we restarted the Moonshot Minecraft server. We had a server that nobody really used, and I found, and we were like, all right, let's just start it from scratch. We're going to give all of our patrons access to it. Let's just, like, do a totally new one so that we're all starting from square one. And I found, like, a cool seed that has, like, a bunch of, like, weird fucked up geometry, and we did that, and a bunch of people got on it, and we have a little community on there now. And
yeah, I remember that Riley tricked me into making this a Patreon reward so that I would pay to host their server.
Yeah,
I think is really what happened.
Yeah, it's a little bit what happened. A lot of people still use it. I'm on there. It's a good server.
Goody. No, I'm glad it exists. I'm just being shitty.
We're currently having a problem with, like, a bunch of, there's a surplus of stone, so I'm in the middle of building a torture labyrinth, so that's what I've been working on every time I log on. about a month into the life of the server, we had a lot of people on, a lot of people were kind of, like, off working on different projects, and we were like, we should have, like, a little market, so that, like, some people who are, like, who need materials for specific projects or, like, who have a lot of a certain material that they don't want can, like, trade and or sell them or whatever. And so a bunch of us, like, cleared out an area, built a bunch of stalls. Some of them are just like, hey, if you don't want to go mining for this thing, like, pay me a diamond and I'll go mining for you. And whatever. Sure. There was a new stall that showed up on April 26th, which was the Bucket Buddies stall. Okay. It was a little machine that you could put in a special proprietary Bucket Bud key, which was just a diamond that was renamed. And it would randomly roll you like a fish in a bucket. It was basically like a gachapon machine for Minecraft fish.
Cool.
And Paddington posted in like the little Patreon channel for $5 patrons. It was like, a new shop comes to the market. Welcome to Bucket Buddies, TM. Scoop up your new best friend. Collect them all. Bucket Buddies, TM, are able to be claimed using our special proprietary Bucket Bud Keys, TM, which are hidden all throughout the server. Real companionship from a bucket. Great gift. And immediately a bunch of people were like, oh, this is the ARG, because Paddington had been like, I'm going to do a little ARG on the server. and it was pretty quickly established that, yes, there were bud keys hidden throughout the server. They were not only in public areas, but, like, deeply hidden, sometimes in people's, like, people's personal storage systems.
Okay.
And basically Paddington had, like, gone throughout the whole server and, like, the bases of everyone who was active and, like, hidden probably more than, I want to say the initial wave was, like, more than 50 diamonds throughout the server.
Jesus. And we had it wasn't like a creative server, so these were, You had to mine these yourselves. Yes. So that finding 50 diamonds is, I feel like I've stumbled onto like 12 diamonds total in my time playing Minecraft.
Yeah, there was quite frankly like an insane amount of diamonds hidden over the course of this ARG. I don't know how much mining Paddington had to do for it. Probably like a lot. And so people started running around finding these keys. They were hidden, like, there were some, like, underwater in item frames. There were some, like, in, like, the communal storage and stuff like that. Some were in, like, chests in, like, the farms. And some of them, instead of being named Bucket Bud Keys, They had weird names like All We Can Trust Is What Contains Us and What Happens to a City Without People.
Huh, okay.
There was also somebody found a compass that was named Return Me Home, and it led to a little shack that had been built on the beach near Spawn that had a mailbox and a lectern inside. Paddington just noted that this was basically immediately retconned after people found it. And then, when a bunch of people were on the server, Paddington gave out a fetch quest that was basically, hey, if you find and bring me 6 bud keys, I'll give you an item, like a special item related to the ARG. Because a lot of this was... In the initial wave, like, we would put the keys in, like, the bucket bud key machine. It would give us a little guy, like, a little axolotl or a fish. And then Paddington would go and collect up all of those diamonds and then go and, like, re-hide them.
Okay.
So basically they were just, like, entering and exiting circulation.
Is there anything that actually differentiates a bud key from a diamond?
Nope, they were just named bud keys. Like, you can rename items in using an anvil. So yeah, they were called bud keys.
Gotcha. I didn't realize you could rename stuff. So and then just the honor system of like, hey, please don't just give your diamonds here.
Yeah, basically.
We're all playing a game together. Be cool.
Yeah, and I think like the redstone machine of like the bucket buddies maybe wouldn't work if you put in a regular diamond. I think that might be true. But yeah, if you had one that was named like Bucket Bud Key TM, it would.
Cool.
So Izzy on the server brought Paddington 6 bud keys and got a compass that said, it's always nice to receive mail. Which pointed to a little house on the server that had a book inside that you could read. And the book said, 'tis a lonely life out on the sea. I see structures popping up, but never any people. I know not why ghosts need physical structures, but perhaps they will appreciate my gifts of companionship through proxy of the only companions I have left. It's been so long since I've seen my closest compatriot, Dave. I've been searching for so long, but never able to find him. I've questioned so many of his brothers, but their gaze is unfamiliar, and they know not of whom I speak. And there was also a little chest with a fishing rod inside a boat outside the house, and the house had a mailbox. And all of us were like, oh, maybe you need to use the fishing rod somewhere, maybe we need to like find a fishing villager, maybe we need, there's like a puzzle here that we could solve. And a couple of people were like, put a sword in the mailbox. It won't solve anything, but it'll be a threat. And we slowly kind of started to work out that Dave was possibly one of the original bucket buddies and or a fish.
Okay.
Because Izzy got a bucket buddy that had the name The Fisherman Seeks the Ultimate Catch.
Okay.
And then returned to the shack to find that a page had been added to the book after a bunch of us had been like, oh, fuck around with the mailbox, take the fishing rod, blah, blah, blah. A page had been added to the book that said, I must be going mad. My lucky rod has gone missing. I haven't even left my house. Unless the cod grew fingers, what reason would they have to take it? I tried asking, but they ignore me as usual. The solitude is getting to me. A sane man wouldn't consider being burgled by ghosts. And we were like, oh shit, we're the ghosts. We've been the ghosts this whole time. And so Izzy put the rod back in the mailbox, and a bunch of us started putting letters in the mailbox to the mysterious fisherman. And there was a page added to the book that said, my rod has been returned, almost as if by magic, or the thief hearing my moaning. My mailbox is too high and on the wrong side of the house for even the most ambitious of fish to achieve. Perhaps ghosts are more likely than I imagine? Paddington adds here, it became an ongoing thing that players would send mail and then pointedly wait just off screen for me to respond, which is true. Which is true, because we were all like on the server basically around the same time, like at night after work. So it would be like,
right,
drop a piece of mail in the mailbox, go and like work on your own project for 30 minutes, come back to see if the fisherman said anything. Because the fisherman put a book out that said to the ghosts, and we could communicate in there. The original message in there said, clearly something can hear me, and we know a common language. If you are capable of speech or writing, please give me a sign. This doesn't mark, I think, everybody who sent messages, because it was like all of us at once, but somebody said, hello, sorry for taking your rod. We didn't know you were using it still. May we ask who Dave is? You speak of him often, and we are curious. And where did the compass lead? What did you find? And the fisherman said, I have greater faith in my sanity than I have since I've lost Dave. I'm certain something out there can hear me. Finding a compass that leads under my floorboards is unnerving, but the thought of talking to someone again pushes such alarms aside. It's always nice to receive mail. Meanwhile, there were some bucket bud keys that were being found that Paddington had named specifically to fuck with people. There was one that was named Stone Turns to Water and We Will Swim Upward, and the director's commentary of this doc says, this is one of a handful of red fish with false information I threw in to fuck with people and try to get them to die looking for keys. This one I was asking people to go swim in lava. There's a new entry in the To the Ghosts book that said, oh, where to begin? It's been so long since I've had to carry on a conversation, so pardon if my manners have decayed. Thank you for returning my rod. I wouldn't be that much of a fisher without it, would I? Dave was my closest companion, a great swimmer, quick wit, a conversationalist without parallel. He disappeared many years ago. I worry that I drove him off. An ominous portent that compass is. I discovered the body of a fish with the message, a buddy. someone else replied, hi, different ghost than before, but I hope we're all friends here. That's awful, an unbucketed buddy. What kind of monster would do that sort of thing? And then hide it in your house like that? Do you have enemies? Meanwhile, listener and patron Vera Lore decides to threaten the fisherman and leaves an iron sword in the mailbox and a piece of paper that says the ghost send their regards, best be paying the protection fee from now on. To which the fisherman responded, well, I question why I would need protection from something I cannot see. I'd prefer my rod to stay put. Payment is buried in the riverbank slightly north of here. Thanks for the sword. And indeed, when people went to the riverbank, there was a shulker box filled with deep slate labeled, ghost must find this valuable, you need so much of it. On the 27th, all of this happened on the 26th, on the 27th, I was a player in this ARG, that's right, I found a fish in one of our like communal farm spaces called a well-traveled path, and also one called a rabbit, a horse, and a pig walk into a bar.
Okay.
We also got some information on the last known whereabouts of Dave. The fisherman said, my last encounter with Dave was regretful, at least on my part. We fought over whose fishing methods were better, mine or his. I said some nasty things about his buckets, and he hurried off in a huff, ranting about how he would catch the ultimate fish first. And I was able to reply to this one, and I said, we've been getting weirdly named fish in different buckets. Could they belong to Dave, maybe? Can you tell us more about the ultimate fish? Paddington also happened to be online at this time, and was like, hey, if you could find 10 keys, I will give you a hint, and if you just, like, hand them in to me, I'll give you, like, a special hint. And director's commentary notes, the turn X amount of keys in for a hint was formalized quickly as a general thing any player could get in on, both as a way to distribute hints and as a sink for keys, so I didn't have to restock the machine as often.
Yeah, I was gonna make a joke that, like, this is a really good way of keeping your economy in check. It's a thing that many games run into when they start having this kind of economy. Good thinking. But I really like that as a just like, hey, we're not going to get too deep into, like, pretending I'm not involved in the game.
Yeah.
And while we're on the server, I might as well just say, here's a way that we can continue the game and keep it going. I like that.
Yeah. It was also a good way to let Paddington not have to put, like, a billion buckets of fish into the gachapon machine every day.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
People did really want the fish, was the thing. I know a bunch of us, like, made aquariums because we were like, what else are we supposed to do? We're building, we're playing a game that incentivizes you for buying fish. and I did find the 10 keys, but it had taken me so long to find them that, like, Paddington had to log off for a while, but was like, hey, if you have them, just, like, toss them into the machine, and I have, like, hidden what I've hidden your little hint in your, like, construction area where I had been working at the time.
Okay.
And in trying to find it, I found two more keys in looking for the object that they'd hidden in my little construction area. And the hint was a puffer fish named -6A830-9B, which Riley realized was coordinates if you did A1Z26 on the letters. It was -6, 618, 30, -92, because Minecraft coordinates are three numbers. And I went to those coordinates and dug around, and then Circle Hunter of Running the Bend Round Wiki fame also came out and dug around.
Nice.
For 90 minutes, and we couldn't find anything.
That's my experience with I've done one or two like treasure maps in Minecraft, and that's been my experience with those too. I've gotten three maps. I've found one treasure.
Yeah. And I was like, maybe it's not, maybe A and B aren't one and two, like, maybe it's elite speak thing, and they're supposed to be, like, 4 and 8. Paddington, I think, was getting fed up at this point, and it started, like, reacting to Discord messages and shit. and then it was like, maybe you should check the fisherman's house, and I was like, damn, okay. And there's a new page in the fisherman's journal that said, pufferfish are such bewitching creatures, almost magical, their ability to harm. And I was like, well, I have a pufferfish, maybe we need to, like, put it down somewhere. And to this, Paddington said, I'm working on documenting colors of fish right now. Gotta be specific, though. There's more than one shade of red. I was like, is it a hex code? What is, like, should I be stringing these numbers together? To which Paddington started posting videos about hexagons. And I was like,
it's octal, Mark.
Meanwhile, a fish that had been named in Cypher had been discovered on the, like, community bulletin board back at spawn, and a bunch of bucket buddies coming out of the machine also had, like, weird names in Cyphers. Some were also named stuff like Dave, Redfish Swim to Dead End, and a couple other things like that. And Paddington gave us a hint, because it wasn't, like, straight Caesar Cypher. Paddington gave us a hint and said, maybe the cypher works like the machine. And I said, oh, fuck me, it's a visionaire, I bet. Something with a key. Because Riley had been trying to brute force it as just, like, a substitution cypher, and it wasn't working.
Gotcha.
We also found another note from the fisherman that said that he had a goal to capture one of the temple guardians in the underwater temple near Spawn. And he said something no fisherman has ever achieved.
Ooh.
Yeah. He also wrote back and forth a little bit with Izzy and said that he'd left a gift below the dock. I don't remember what the gift was, and it's not written here. It was probably some Minecraft item. So we kind of had like these three paths that we'd been given. We had like the pufferfish code. We had this what we thought was a visionaire, and we had like a bunch of clues pointing us towards the ocean monument near Spawn, like the ocean temple. But we couldn't find anything. So that was kind of where we left it for the day. And the next day, there was a new entry in the Fisherman's Journal that said, I don't know what to make of these ghosts. Most of them seem kind enough, inquisitive, and well-meaning. Some of them have taken to leaving buckets of fish in my house. At least these have sensible everyday names like Larry, and not entire sentences. Though this one named Dave feels mocking. Doesn't even look like Dave. Maybe he put them up to this? But surely there are more direct ways to communicate if that were the case. I still don't know how to reply. One of the ghosts has given me a number of decorations for my home, and having hung them up, I regret not putting more effort into my living space. Though maybe it's not the specific items, but knowing that my home, and by extension my life, have been changed through having a friend. Yeah, it was very cute because, like, people would leave items in the mailbox and then Paddington would, like, put them up as decoration in the house.
That's really cute.
Yeah. And letters continued to be sent. Kane, one of the patrons and also one of my internet friends, basically left a letter explaining the Bucket Buddies system to the fishermen because I think they realized nobody had yet. there's like a gacha machine in the market that like spits out fish. And the fisherman said, thank you for the gifts. Although I was originally somewhat put off by the specifics of the item in question, I've grown rather fond of them. I've arranged an outdoor enclosure for them, since buckets are insufficient vessels for a creature you want to keep alive. I took a trip to the marketplace today as well. Navigating to it was slightly confusing. However, you ghosts have the foresight and courtesy to build a map right on the water, and for that I thank you. Your pricing systems are so strange to me, and yet I grow fond of them. One asked me to provide from the ocean, something I am well able to do. The familiarity was comforting. Another required I merely say yeehaw. Seems like an unsustainable business model, but nonetheless I complied. I think somebody in a shop that just like required you leave a piece of paper with yeehaw written on it as payment. And we eventually started keeping just, like, a box in the community area that was like, here's where all of the weirdly named Bucket Buddies should go until we've solved them. And so we just had our big puzzle box, which was like, if you want to go and stare at it, good luck. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I love a good, just like... Hey, here's a bunch of ciphers or something. If you just want to bang your head against a wall, here's the wall.
And it's so nice to, like, do that, especially in, like, an online game with a community space, to be like, hey, I left this in, like, the big community space in case anybody wants to stare at it.
Mm-hmm.
And we did discover that the fisherman had been through the marketplace and had been to a bunch of our stalls, and had, like, left little notes behind that was just, like, many thanks, sincerely the fisherman. Because a bunch of the stalls were just, like, pay whatever you want for like, however many of these things you want. Because a lot of us don't like mining diamonds, and we're like, yeah, sure, fuck it. Just, like, put whatever you want in here.
Sure.
Paddington then jumped on the server and started giving clues in the chat, including, when you're feeling lost, checking the map is a good way to orient yourself. which was a clue given for 10 keys, and then they said, 5 more and I'll give you the physical map, but you can access it without it. Nonetheless, the five keys got handed over, and Izzy got a map that said, "Guys, it's Hex." And a picture of Sans Undertale underneath it.
Oh, incredible.
Oh. The fisherman also asked for some help decorating the little fish habitat that he'd made outside his shack, which was just like a little walled off pond where he had been dumping all of the like bucket buddies that people had given him. And so some of the players, like Izzy, like went off to decorate this pond. Someone who was not a player also started to send mail to the fisherman. There was a message that he had gotten that said, "To the fisherman, greetings. We represent a corporation that has been moving into the area, and we hope to open a steady trade between us and yourself. We have been made to understand that you are one who is quite skilled at fishing. We hope to form a healthy business relationship. Enclosed with this letter is a sample of our wares. Please enjoy. We find the Bucket Buddies promotion fascinating, and assume, due to your fish connection, what you can tell us of it? Ben Overman, CEO." The fisherman said, "I am afraid you misunderstand. I believe the Bucket Buddies come from your, the ghost side, do they not? I learned of them and collected my first as of this morning. Nevertheless, I am enjoying the treat you have left. What wares would you want to be delivered from me?" And the CEO said, "It is apparent to us that we ghosts are in a sort of competition of information, so we would simply like to exchange goods for information, specifically assistance in forming a timeline of events. Around when would you say the friend you spoke of disappeared in comparison to when the ghost started appearing? Could it be that these events are connected?" And the fisherman said, "Oh, that was many years ago when I last saw Dave. The construction began perhaps 6 weeks ago. However, I've only confirmed the presence of the individuals responsible for such structures very recently." The CEO said, "We are quite curious as to what you think of the ghosts, as you call us. How long have you been aware of us? Have you always lived alone, aside from Dave? Do you remember your family? Apologies if we're prying. We're simply fascinated." The fisherman said, "I am unable to see or hear you, yet I watch day after day as new structures arise, built seemingly by no one. I, of course, am not of a perfect vocabulary, but the term seemed appropriate. As far as I can recall, I simply entered the world one day, shortly after which I encountered Dave." Meanwhile, people on this server started finding bud keys that nobody had found yet. Izzy sent a message that said, "There's fucking bud keys in the nether, y'all. End the end. Paddington." They were literally, like, hidden in holes, like, under people's farms and, like, on the sides of things.
Nice. This is a lot of work for... I like how much is being done just within the confines of Minecraft. It's really cool how much you can accomplish just within the game as being played.
It was so good. There were like several different occasions where I was like working on something totally unrelated to the ARG on the server, and I like dove underwater, saw an item frame, and was like, "Are you fucking for real?"
I do think the Paddington should have done more like treasure chests rigged with TNT. I think that would have been a good direction that they could have gone to, but this is fine, I guess.
There were like some in places that like nobody ever would have thought to check. It was crazy.
Good.
They would like sometimes sit on the server and like play like hot and cold with us and like kind of lurk around while we while we try to find a bunch.
That's really fun.
That's really good. The 29th, Izzy finished the fish habitat for the fisherman, and the fisherman said, "It looks stunning, thank you, though I fear that I will be expected to name these newcomers. It was difficult enough coming up with the one." Paddington in the patron chat said, "OMG, I just discovered item frames can share a block with entities. My hiding spots are about to become so much more obnoxious." I start in my day on the server leaving a message to the fisherman that said, I have good news. The Osha Temple nearby is safe to go in and catch yourself a guardian. I drained quite a bit of it recently and killed the elder guardians to make it a little easier to get around, which took me several hours. I hate Osha Temples, but nobody else wanted to do it. Clown also had gone into the Ocean Temple and said in the chat, I did see something in the Sea Temple IRC, but I don't know enough about what's poppin', so I left it to not mess with it. Didn't want to break anything. And I said, if it's a diamond in an item frame, it's free game. I went in the Ocean Temple for a bit, but I bounced because it's scary down there. And Clown said, no, it was something else. And I was like, what kind of something else? And Clown said, I can show you if you want to meet up. Fish in a bucket. Also left it just because I was on Sponge Quest to make a zoo. And I said, oh, that's gotta be something. To which I went down into the ocean monument, and found a fish in a bucket in the item frame, and the fish was named Dave.
I'm gonna give a quick moment and shout out. Shout out to the person that I am sure was on the server and didn't want to say anything. But shout out to you if you were the one person that was just like, man, I'm just trying to make a farm and everyone just keeps talking about these stupid fish. I'm just trying to build a castle and no one wants to help. They just want to go look at fish.
Listen, I was building the castle. The castle is mine and Kate's. And then we got distracted looking at fish. So, yeah, I went into the ocean monument and sent everyone a screen cap of the fish named Dave lying on the ground. And Izzy said, oh no, Dave, I gave Dave to the fisherman. Did he kill Dave? to which I brought Dave back to the fisherman's house and left Dave in there with a note that said, so I went to the ocean temple and I have bad news about Dave, actually. And Paddington in chat said, okay, I know it's the mechanic we've been rolling with, but the fact that someone put the corpse of his friend into his mailbox is very funny.
I don't know that Paddington will say that this is the inspiration, but I do like that the main inspiration for this ARG is the Sandra Bullock, Keanu Reeves film, yeah, The Lake House.
The Lake House. It kind of is. I also turned in all of my keys to get a clue, which ended up being a puffer fish named The Beginning of the End, capitalized the end of the beginning. But Paddington asked us to solve the hex code puffer fish first before we solve that one.
The hex code puffer fish is a great phrase.
It really is. The fisherman sent us back a note that said, I see, I will need some time, I'm afraid, to say goodbye. And very shortly afterwards, a Dave grave, if you will, was erected at the fisherman's house that said, here lies Dave, freed from his bucket. And a bunch of people sent letters to the fisherman that were like, hey, sorry about Dave.
God.
On April 30th, Kane went to the end and sent a message on Discord that said, so has someone already found this shit in the end? And a bunch of us were like, no, we haven't been to the end in like weeks. What are you talking about? And we realized that the beginning of the end of the beginning had probably been pointing to that. And we were like, well, Paddington told us not to follow that yet, because like it, whatever it was, wasn't set up. But Paddington came into the chat and was like, no, it's fine, you can look at it now. I was, like, in the middle of setting it up. And in the end was a house with a bunch of stuff in it. It was a, like, copy of the fisherman's house, just, like, sitting around in the middle of the end. And it had a journal written in the same, like, weird substitution cipher that we hadn't been able to solve yet.
Okay.
And we theorize that this weird, like, copy of the Fisherman's House is maybe where the Bucket Buddies were coming from. Because I think there were, like, some in chests in there. There was, like, a bunch of, like, barrels stacked up, and they had Bucket Buddies in them. We tried to solve the hex, and Paddington was like, you have all the information you need to solve it, but it might be, like, user error, and it might be unsolvable, actually.
Someone's messing up here. Could be me, could be you, who could say? Yeah.
Letters were left for the fisherman telling him of this development, saying, like, hey, we found, like, this weird cabin. There was some code in there. Like, what do you know about this? More bucket bud keys got found. Some of them were, like, sandwiched in between blocks in, like, evil ways. On May 1st, the fisherman had sent us back a letter that said, to everyone that has been by since Dave was discovered, sincerely thank you. The kind words, the gifts, and beautiful work on both mine and my new fish's homes mean so much to me. I said I would take time. That time has left me with questions. I want to know what happened. How can I help? And people sent letters back, I believe, being like, here's what's up. On the 2nd, Paddington nudged us in the direction of the, like, community billboard, which had a shulker box titled The Inscrutable Pufferfish Yields.
Okay.
And it had a bunch of blocks of different colored wool inside of it. And in the Discord, Paddington said, the solution to both is the same. The method by which you arrive has changed. Looking at the puffer to see if you can get any insight is fair game. We did not make any more progress on this puzzle that day. On the 3rd, Cain said, okay, I'm going to mind meld with this puzzle and solve it. If it's just a color substitution cipher, then maybe it can be brute forced. because we'd realized that the last word had two repeating letters in it, which were both dark green wool.
Okay.
And the second word was three letters, and so Kay was like, that's probably the. And then we got to a point where Kate said, looking back at the pufferfish, I'm perplexed. Could hex have negatives in it? And I said, no, it also has to be an even number of characters. To which Paddington said that the online solvers lied to me. Kane brought three keys to Paddington for a hint, came back into the chat and said, gang, they're not letters. That was my hint. They're not letters. Referring to the wool, I believe. and the first instinct was to try note blocks and, okay, like, sync them to the because you can make different colored notes come out of note blocks. So we're like, maybe something with that.
Okay.
And we're like, no, the colors aren't consistent. Like, they're just random. And we kind of rotated this a little bit more, but didn't make any progress on it. Mostly because we were trying to brute force it, which sometimes works, other times doesn't. On the 6th, we got a new clue that said, counting sheep for the fishy asleep. And we're like, what could that mean? Someone also got a compass from the Bucket Buddies machine that had a ciphered name and led to a book called Fisher's Lament that had some ciphered text in it. We brute forced this. I think maybe Riley brute forced this because it was the copypasta of let any fish who meets my gaze learn the true meaning of fear. I am the harbinger of death, the bane of creatures subaqueous. My rod is true and unwavering as I cast it into the aquatic abyss. A man scorned by this uncaring earth finds solace in the sea. My only friend, the worm upon my hook, wriggling, writhing, struggling to surmount the pointlessness that permeates this barren world. I am alone, I am empty, and yet I fish.
God. And so, incredible stuff.
And so with that as our key, we were able to, I think, decode some of the other ciphertext. we also got a clue for the wool puzzle that was rainbow capitalism, just go with it. And we're like, that's interesting, because we have a wool farm on the server that has like a big rainbow made out of wool marking where it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should like go look, and maybe there's like a hint there. The next day on the 8th, we were like, okay, there's like nothing that anybody can find in the wool shop. Maybe like there's like a hidden item there or something. And then Riel, one of the patrons, said, are the sheep dyed in the wool farm? And we're like, yeah. And they said, count sheep, assign a number to each color. Count the sheep for each color and slot the number into here, then it's coordinates. This is like somebody who had not who I don't think had like previously really interacted with the ARG swooping in and being like, have you tried this? And we're like, oh, yeah, that has to be it.
Incredible.
Oh, yeah, we literally just have to like count the order that the wool is in. It's like, I had been right at the beginning that it was coordinates. We were just like wrong in every step we took to try right. to get there.
Oh, that's really funny.
It was. And then we were like, oh, black and white at the beginning of like the wool puzzle lines are like positive, supposed to be positive or negative. And we, and so eventually Elle worked out what the numbers were by like going and counting like the arrangement of the wool and like going back and looking. It said in the chat, Paddington, why would you do this to me and have a zero in there? Do you know how confusing this makes it? To which Paddington said, which is why I'm telling you, instead of letting you dig in the wrong spot for 2 hours like Marn.
Thank you, Paddington. I, for one, appreciate your kindness.
So, Elle solved it, went to those coordinates and found a compass buried under an iceberg, that had a title in the same code, which led to a shulker box filled with buckets, some of which were full, some of which were not full, which people realized was binary, using like the full buckets as ones, I think, and the empty buckets as zeros.
Okay.
Which decoded to the word tad. And Paddington followed up the next day saying, this is the key to the encoded text, like the encoded ciphertext that you've been seeing.
Nice.
So we got the key after we brute forced the cipher. On May 13th, Paddington wrote a Discord ARG update, just so y'all know what's up. You're about 3/4 through what I have planned. There's still going to be keys and other drops / puzzles, but the latter are going to slow down a bit while I set up the finale, which is going to be something everyone runs like an escape room. So once it's closer to ready, I'll look to find a good time with everyone.
That's cool.
Spoiler alert from director's commentary, we did not get to do that.
No.
Yeah. After the ARG slowed down, a bunch of people like kept searching for keys and like finding keys. A bunch of the ciphertext got translated. One of the fish was named "I was over the moon when we were together." Another one was named "I could never replace you to my own detriment." On the 19th, your very own sister turned in 10 keys for a hint. that said, in the end, he was only left with his journal. And this is where the updates end. partially due to we had a problem on the server where when we updated it, when we updated the server to 1.20, we lost all of everything that people had built in the Nether and the End.
Right, I remember that.
Which we got back eventually because of something I did by accident, basically, that fixed it. But it was like a whole thing where just like the file had like gotten saved in like a separate folder, and so like the server couldn't find it. And Paddington writes in this doc, I just read out Steve, what's really funny is before I began, I set a timeline of getting it over with within a month because I didn't want to run out of steam and leave it unfinished. So, whoops. However, I did have plans. Here are the plans. Things that were planned but didn't happen. Unsolved puzzles. The final hint issued in the End, he was left with only his journal, was to lead players back to the house in the End. Now that they had the solve for the cipher, the translation reads as follows. He isn't responding. Does he not recognize these as companions anymore? What kind of strange spell could befall a fisherman to cause him to not want fish? He's discovered the loss of his Dave. I'm too late. This will surely break him.
Aww.
Paddington says, when I was ready for players to move on to the finale, I would give an item that led to a very deep hole, vaguely made to look like a boat on the sea. If you place the Fisher's Lament on the lectern and read to the End, you would receive the key / location of the finale dungeon. The finale dungeon is partially built on the server. I know a couple people found it, I think by accident recently, and like ran through the parts of it that like work. Cool. I haven't visited it yet, but I'm told it's very cool. if you're on the server and you want to find it, the coordinates are 231-69-1408.
Okay. Let me write that down real quick.
The story beats that would have happened in like the final dungeon was people finding out that Dave had left because he was frustrated with the fishermen and wanted to capture a guardian to prove a point. The other fishermen in the End had been like kind of normal, but eventually became alone after losing his dearest friend, who was a frog instead of a fish.
Okay.
He spiraled into loneliness, and instead of moving on, he kept trying to recreate the old life he had, draining the ocean of fish by putting them in buckets and to try to fill that place. the other fisherman finds out about the death of Dave and wants to stop his counterpart from going down the same path. Well, we gotta do something with all these fish. Contrast, our fisherman is doing okay because he made friends. To be loved is to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Cities without people, the experience of loading into an empty Minecraft world, seeing buildings and machines but not the people who built them, seeing the world change around you but not seeing the people making those changes. People without cities, what happens to people who are isolated by things outside their control? Existing in a world of ghosts, simply experiencing the world versus actually making an effort to interact with people.
This is Dark Souls.
Yeah, a little bit. The events of the dungeon were not meant to be literal, as according to this document, we're taking a narrator's or potentially like the audience of a musical's POV. There was a one by one underwater maze that you had to go through.
God.
yeah. there is a like mirror puzzle where it's the two houses, like the two fishermen houses, and players are stuck on opposite sides of the glass and have to make item frames in the two houses match in order to unlock the next door.
Okay.
There's apparently a puzzle called The Frog Dies at the End.
No!
Which shows you the other fisherman's dead frog buddy. It had a combination lock using different item frames. There's an underwater maze. The buckets. Players fill a barrel with fish they catch in buckets. They have to find the buckets. The door says, I am alone. The barrel, I am empty. Every fish, and yet I fish. there was a parkour section. This caption says, this could be the parkour section. Spoiler, it was. And you had to basically parkour around and find the different, like, buckets and stuff. There was going to be a void map mini maze that was just, like, all white, like a white void that you had to navigate through, with messages that said, like, it wasn't enough, I cannot be brought back for this, but maybe I could stop him from coming this far. The underwater area, the fate of Dave. I anticipate this being a bitch and a half, so buckle the fuckle up. Ocean monument ass looking room. Hole in the floor opens into a 1x1 maze. Build in an observation platform. Let people guide them through the maze. Maybe player in the maze dies at the end? There are pictures of this maze in here, and it's terrifying. If you scroll down.
Yeah, I'm looking at this, and this is wild.
Yeah, it is fully just, like, a large, like, ocean temple-looking room with a big fish statue in the middle, and the floor is, like, glass, and there is, like, a 1x1, like, underwater maze under it where you could see, like, the player needs to trigger a bunch of, like, redstone lamps.
Jesus.
Other puzzle concepts, the empty city, players are given items and asked to decorate a city, the mirror 2 electric boogaloo, back to the mirror, both houses are changed, fisherman's house is decorated like in the overworld, the others is consumed by buckets, the beginning, the end, the beginning again, the barrier between the city and the mirror 2 is blown open, players can bring decorative items into the mirror, a reveal of Dave and the frog is some sort of afterlife way, players release all the fish from buckets. I think that would be a very nice ending to the ARG if a lot of us hadn't already put the fish into aquariums.
Yeah, this is a really cool idea. This is very ambitious, and
it really is
a lot going on, and I'm surprised. You know what, the game's been out for like 40 years at this point. I shouldn't be surprised by what people can pull off in Minecraft these days, but like, this is a wild dungeon to be able to put together in Minecraft and figure out. So I'm sorry that it never really got the chance to be run per se, but all that is put together is so cool.
Yeah,
and being able to put all this game as a whole together in Minecraft is really sick.
It's very cool. Yeah, like I said, this exists on the server if people want to go see it. I know, like, a group of people went and kind of ran some of the rooms that are functional, and, like, it works. You can go and do the maze. Also, at the bottom of this document, it's, like, a full, like, archive of different, like, builds from the game and, like, locations that people found keys. We'll put this in the show notes so people can go look at it. It's very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, dang, Paddington. Good job.
Good job, Paddington.
This is really cool.
Good arg.
The stuff near the end here really does feel like, it feels like they built a Zelda dungeon in Minecraft.
It kind of does, yeah.
But with the vibes of Ben Drowned, not actual Zelda. Like, I don't know. I just think it's interesting.
It's very cool. I love this evil fish maze. Yeah. I haven't seen that they put screen caps of it until now. I think the last time I looked at the stock, there weren't pictures of it.
All right. Well, Marn, as a person that played in this one, how you feel about the story of this arc?
I liked this one. It was just like a joy to log into the Minecraft server like for an hour every night and be like, I wonder what our good buddy the fisherman is up to today and what shit we can discover.
Yeah, you don't need a lot. Just, hey, I'm a neat fisherman. I like fish. Here we go.
Yeah. Hey, it's crazy that somebody's putting fish in buckets. We should find out about that.
Anyone have any thoughts on that one?
It's also fun to, like, to be like, oh, everybody is, like, doing, like, little market stalls, but, like, what if I did one that had a little bit of a story to it?
Yeah. No, I like that. That's a spot where Minecraft kind of loses me, but I love the idea of, like,
yeah,
as a player, I'm going to set up my own, and I'm going to get funky with it.
Yeah, it's fun.
I like that. How do you feel about the puzzles in this one?
I liked them. I like things that have a little bit of a scavenger hunt component. I thought it was fun that this had both a scavenger hunt and a little bit of a, like, cipher solving component. Even if we were really bad at solving the ciphers.
Yeah, I think the puzzles in this one, they're really nice. They're really varied. I think there's just a lot of cool stuff going on.
Yeah, the wool coordinates thing is very cool. Even if it took us really long time to figure out what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think this is really cool. Really cool puzzles. It's a real shame that this dungeon never got to be run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did get to be partially run, but yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. And Marn, did you have fun?
I did. I had a lot of fun.
Good. It's all really well documented, and most of the stuff, if not all of it, still is on our server, right?
Yeah, you can even still go and get Bucket Buddies. Like, I have a couple of keys somewhere in my storage system that I gotta, like, go and redeem.
So if you know what? This is the month of the patron drive. I don't think we meant to do this as an advertisement, but if you're a member of the Moonshot Patreon, you can go get access to this right now.
By giving us $5 a month, you can go do the fish maze.
You can go to a fish maze anytime you want. Well, hell yeah, Marn. Good stuff all around.
Good stuff.
Do you want to get into recommendations?
Yeah, let's do it.
What you got for me this week? You been seeing anything cool?
I played a video game that just came out, and I really enjoyed it. I really liked Princess Peach. I really liked Princess Peach Showtime.
Is it good?
It's genuinely really good.
Cool.
It is genuinely, like, one of the most fun times I've had with a Nintendo game in recent memory.
Okay,
like,
cool.
It's great. The thing is, I do wish, so the kind of conceit of the game is that, like, you're Princess Peach, you're, like, trapped in this, like, theater, and you have to, like, take on different roles in, like, these different stages to, like, beat up these bosses, whatever, who have taken over the theater. There are at least two different roles that give you the ability to just, like, turn the game into a beat-em-up. And what I really want is for Nintendo to just go whole hog and make the Princess Peach beat-em-up that they tease in this game. They can't be like, here's our Princess Peach game, and we've made it so that in three levels, you are Kung Fu Peach, who can punch through rock and throw guys at other guys and hit guys with a chair. And then be like, well, that's the last we're going to do with that mechanic. Anyway.
Nintendo, we know you listen to us.
Nintendo, we know you listen to our podcast. No, I liked it. I think it's a good game. I liked the variety of mechanics that they have in it. Like, there are levels that are just straight up and down, like, stealth levels, which surprised me. Yeah, cool. I think it's good. I mean, it's a game for children, but I had fun playing it.
Hell yeah. That sounds really great.
Yeah.
Cool. My recommendation this week, I got two YouTube videos you should check out. One is the new video by Eddie Burback, who makes some pretty cool videos, but he just put out a really great one called Apple's $3,500 Nightmare. That is him talking about buying the new, like, the Apple goggles. I can't remember the name of the actual thing off the top of my head right now. And talking about, like, what it is like to live with this product, as well as, at least that's where it starts, and kind of pivots into talking about a lot of other things about an online world. It's a really cool, really good video. I haven't gone too
literally deep. What? I literally started watching it, like, yesterday, and then, like, walked away and got distracted. I gotta finish it.
You should finish it. It's incredible. I don't want to give away the ending or anything like that, but it's a very cool video that digs into, like, some really cool stuff. The other video I'm going to recommend, I will say I have not finished this one yet. but our friend Quentin Reviews, who does the iCarly videos. For April Fool's, he's put out a 38-hour video breaking down the Beverly Hillbillies. I'm not going to say that I'm going to watch the whole thing, but it will be nice to have something on in the background for the next week and a half of work.
I watched watched a little of it. It's really good because the part of the joke is that it's not him. The joke is that, like, he's gone mysteriously missing and his dad now has to do the video.
That's incredible. I have not gotten that far. I don't. Looking at my YouTube history, it says that I've started, but I'm not sure that I actually have started the video proper.
It's really good. I haven't watched the whole thing. I kind of, like, watched, like, the first 10 minutes and then, like, skimmed through a little bit.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm excited to check that out. Those are my recommendations. Actually, to be a little more real, Quentin Reviews does cool stuff. He put out a really good video called We Don't Talk About Dan Schneider about... Mm-hmm. The showrunner of all of the, basically the Disney live action sitcoms that were on when I was a kid.
Nickelodeon, not Disney.
Oh, did I say Disney? Yeah. Nickelodeon. Yeah. And it does a really good detailed breakdown about, the things going on behind the scenes during his showrunnership, which includes like the stuff in the Quiet on Set documentary and stuff like that. Really good video. He makes good real videos too, not just 38 hour monstrosities.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
He's a good YouTuber.
Turns out there's at least one of them. I think that that's going to do it for us. So until next time, if you want to find us, you can do so. We are online at Argonauts Pod on Twitter. Otherwise, you can find us individually. I am at co-host Sherms.
I am at Corpse Survivors.
And if you want to support the show and find all sorts of other really cool goodies, you can do so by going to Patreon and supporting the Moonshot Network. We are currently in our Patreon drive and have a lot of extra cool stuff. Normally, we put out regular podcasts and things that happen for only patrons. We do even more every April. So... now is a really great time to get in on the Patreon if you haven't already.
Yeah. We are putting up, like Andrew said earlier in this episode, some bonus Argonaut stuff. We went back to our first couple of years of the podcast and are doing brackets of all of those args because we never did. We have a bunch of other cool stuff going up as well. But yeah, if you're here and you like Argonauts, those are the things that we can offer you. more chances to hear us sitting around and talking very seriously about ARGs.
Incredibly seriously, with our usual theme song.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, on that note, we hope you have a good night. And until next time, well, that's ARGs, baby.